We pray. Heavenly Father, you who rule heaven and earth, so also guide, direct, and bless our journey toward another Good Friday and Easter. On this Lenten journey, turn our eyes toward you, dear Lord, and in you find our very reason for existing. Our bless in all trials and trouble, our strength for every new day. Bless us and guide us through the power of your holy word in us and through us. Amen. I think the week between Palm Sunday and Good Friday was a very busy week for Jesus. I would assume he had a lot of things on his to-do list. Here he had ridden into town, into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to the shouts and praises of all the people. And all Jerusalem was abuzz because the leaders were looking for some possible way to put him to death. He had so much to accomplish with the people and with his disciples that week as he saw his crucifixion approaching all the more. With all that happening in one short week, I am amazed that on that busy Tuesday of Holy Week, Jesus took out the time to go up on the Mount of Olives with his disciples and tell them this parable that Matthew records for us. It must have been very important for him to take out that time. Let's see if it's important to us. The master of the parable gave money out. He was going away on a journey, and he thought he would hand out some of his money to servants. To one servant, he gave 5 talents, to another, 3 talents, and to the third one, 1 talent. Now, a talent is roughly about 75 pounds, we're told, and different scholars think in today's money it would be different amounts, but one scholar thinks that a talent of money would be roughly be, a talent of silver, that is, would be roughly about $300,000. That would make 5 talents of money about $1.5 million. Wow! What would you do if someone gave you $1.5 million? What were these servants supposed to do with these talents of silver? Well, you know, at Christmas time, it's really customary for grandma to hand out envelopes and have a little cash in those envelopes. And the way things go is usually the kids will say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then they go off and spend their money on whatever they want. Not really feeling any obligation or responsibility to grandma to spend their money in the way grandma wants them to. That was not the arrangement between this master and his servants. He gave them the money. He entrusted them money, but they were to take care of his money. They weren't just to do whatever they wanted with the money. There was an understanding, first of all, that they didn't deserve to be investors for the master. He just simply picked them out of the crowd, and he was blessing them with this high honor of handling his wealth. And so they recognized with this high honor also came a responsibility. They were not supposed to squander this money. They were actually supposed to use it. Use it in such a way that it actually gained a profit, because that master would be coming back to town and he would want his money back, but also with some gain, some profit, some dividends for his money. All 3 of them understood this arrangement, but only 2 of them were faithful in this arrangement, faithful in their duties to their master. What would you do if someone gave you $1.5 million? Ooh, would you have the party of your life? Huh? Would you go on all kinds of exotic vacations? I find it interesting, if a person works for 40 years, and if they have a salary around $37,500, guess what? They will have earned $1.5 million over their lifetime. Do we ever think of our salaries, our incomes, as really God's investment in us? Before the Israelites entered the Promised Land, crossed the Jordan and entered the Promised Land, God reminded them, "You may say to yourselves, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." God is the one who gives us everything we have. And God pours out His gifts upon us like Niagara Falls. He has given us wealth and health and talents and time. He has blessed us with family and friends and work and play. He's entrusted us with the very words of God and with the powerful sacraments of our God. He has given us His flesh and blood, His sacrifice and His resurrection. He has given us Himself and His eternal life. He has given us the privilege even to work with the Holy Spirit to bring that glorious gospel into the hearts and lives of all kinds of people around us. But you know, as God is showering those blessings upon us, He doesn't just give them and then walk away and say, "Have a good day." He invests His gifts upon us and is expecting a yield, a profit, for us and for Him. Jesus told His disciples, "The servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready and does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be required." Paul also told the Corinthians, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Bobby Brandt was 52 years old. She had a reasonably good life being a waitress. One day after work, she got done, she came home, she turned on the television to watch the news, and she burst into tears. Bobby had done a wonderful job of breaking free of her life of addicted to drugs. It took her years and years to get clean and sober, but she did it, and she was maintaining it. The one day in her life of drugs that was burned into her memory was that day when she handed over her newborn baby named Hope into the hands of the adoptive parents, the Clarks. Can you imagine Bobby's joy when she turned on that television and saw Hope Clark anchoring the evening news? Wow. Her most prized possession, her little girl, was handed off and entrusted with someone else to raise. And here Hope was right before her in the evening news, happy, healthy, beautiful, successful. Bobby could only say through her tears, "You did a good job raising my child. You did a good job with my baby, Hope." Can you imagine her joy? That is the joy God has when He says to you and me, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." God's grace has made a difference in our lives, produced abundant fruit of faith. And that is no joke to God. It's intensely personal and powerful. He has given us His prized possession, His beloved Son. We were so precious to Him that He was willing to sacrifice His Son so that we might be healthy in His Word, healed in and out, that we might be happy in His peace, that we might be beautiful to his sight in his grace, and that we might be successful in living our lives to him and not to ourselves. Has his love produced a rich dividends, a bountiful crop in our lives? Notice what the master said to the servant who hid his one talent in the ground. He said, "You wicked, lazy servant." How bizarre. He took his master's gift and dug a hole and put it in there and left it there and simply just went on with his own life. What a high insult that was. Neither the master nor his money meant anything to him. He was just all about getting on with his life. He didn't want to have any responsibility for the master's stuff. He knew the master had given it to him, and he knew the master's expectations when he would return. And yet somehow he had conned himself into having a good excuse for when his master comes back, as though it was the master's fault that he was so unfaithful with the gift. "It's your fault because you're such a hard master." When we can't be bothered by the master's will, when what we want out of life is so much more important than what God wants out of our life, well, then we too are wicked, lazy servants. We may say we appreciate all that God has done for us, but when it comes to the point of making decisions, do we take all that gratitude and put it in a box on a shelf somewhere and merely go on with our life? Do we con ourselves into thinking that God is okay with apathy? Or don't we really even care? Living for ourselves means that we're not living for God. We can't have two masters. Either God's will is first and foremost in our lives, or our will is first and foremost. Which will it be? Which will it be as we march ever closer to that cross on Good Friday? This week might include special prayers of repentance for how unfaithful we have been with all that God has entrusted to us. Many are the times when we have lived our lives, put our preferences first before him, and was absolutely careless and clueless as to what the Father's will is. Thankfulness leads to faithfulness. God has forgiven us for our unfaithfulness. In his faithfulness, he has poured out his blood to cover over our sins and to give us new life in his life and to give us a new existence in his forgiveness and love. His grace has created a brand new person inside of each and every one of us and filled our hearts with thankfulness, godly thankfulness. Thankfulness that actually produces a joy in obedience, a sense of obligation that is not a burden but a pleasure as we stand under Christ's holy cross and see what he has done for us. We are not our own, and that's actually good news. We are the Lord's, and that's the most beautiful news. Nothing in this life can compare to loving God, serving him with our life. That is our first and highest purpose of even existing. Those without faith cannot understand it. They cannot fathom this kind of loving devotion for him who's ransomed and rescued us. But for us with faith, we can't imagine a life any other way. Oh, how our heart yearns to hear God say about us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That is what we live for. This Lenten season, we again see how Jesus lived to save us. This Lenten season, May God see how we live to praise Him. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, worker of miracles, work your miracle of grace and truth in our hearts and lives that we might be aglow with your favor and blessing. Guide us ever onward and equip us for everything that's ahead, that in all of life's triumphs and tragedies we might claim your holy name and live for you who have lived and died and risen for us. Bless us and empower us now and for all eternity. In Christ our Savior we pray. Amen.